New evidence today, the American manufacturing sector is on a roll.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We got word today from the Institute for Supply Management. Factory activity rose last month. Economists had predicted the numbers would be flat, so the positive reading kind of caught some analysts off guard. Joel Naroff has an economic advisory firm in Greater Philadelphia. He's with us now to talk a little manufacturing. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. So talk about these numbers and what they mean for the manufacturing sector. What are we talking about here?
Well, what we're talking about in this report is a manufacturing sector that looks like it's really picking up steam. Orders are surging. Employment is growing. Backlogs are building. Beginning to sell things overseas a lot more. Vehicles, high-tech products, furniture we still do a fairly large amount of. It's such a strong report. Indeed, I think what you have to do at this point is say, okay, let's see if there's follow-through on it. But right now, this was a great report.
What about the bigger picture economy in general?
Most people still think we're either in a recession or just barely getting out of it. If manufacturing's soaring, a lot of the demand may be coming from the export markets and foreign countries that are growing, but most of that has to be coming from domestic demand. So it says to me that the broader economy is doing better. The key, though, is to get it growing strongly enough that businesses have to hire. I think what we're seeing in the manufacturing sector, that switch is being flipped. They're beginning to hire more, and ultimately that'll spread into the more general economy.
Joel Naroff with Naroff Economic Advisors just outside of Philadelphia this morning. Joel, thanks.
My pleasure.
And that report has stocks moving on up. Markets are higher right now. The S&P up 1.5%. Same for the NASDAQ for the most part. The Dow up 107 points, just shy, a fraction of a point away from 12,000. We're at 11,999. Speaking of manufacturing, GM reported auto sales jumped by 23% in January. Biggest gains came from Cadillac. The government says construction spending of homes and shopping centers and commercial buildings fell more than 10% in 2010, the fifth straight yearly drop. Airlines are delaying or canceling flights from Dallas to Chicago to JFK Airport in New York because of a major winter storm affecting the Midwest and the Northeast. Hundreds of thousands of protesters in Egypt are once again in the streets demonstrating against the government. They're frustrated with high unemployment and everyday food prices. For example, the price of wheat to make bread is now nearing record highs, and that's cutting into living standards. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Egypt is the world's leading importer of wheat. The World Bank says 30 million Egyptians are impoverished, and most spend half their income on food. Rising prices have sparked deadly protests in North Africa before. And mindful of Egypt's meltdown now, neighboring countries are putting in big grain orders to feed their people. Dan Bossi is president of Ag Resource Company in Chicago.
The Algerians are bringing in lots of wheat, trying to forestall a situation like that. While in Tunisia, we had a president that was ousted over rising food prices to the same degree. So, yes, in those countries where there's a very impoverished population, rising food prices does have a play.
Among other grain buyers, Jordan, Libya, Turkey, Qatar, Morocco, and Lebanon. In fact, Goldman Sachs now warns global hoarding of rice and wheat will intensify. In fact, some analysts figure that stockpiling, combined with tight global supply, could jack up prices even more. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
It costs more than a penny to make and distribute a penny. Still, congressional efforts to scrap the one-cent coin have failed thus far. Canada has tackled the same issue for years. They have a penny as well. And now the Canadian Senate Finance Committee may scrap their coins. Marketplace's Sean Cole explains.
After extensive hearings over the last year and a lofty statement from Deputy Chairman Irving Gerstein,
many scholars and commentators have suggested that the penny is in fact a piece of currency that lacks currency.
The Canadian Senate Finance Committee finally released a report saying the penny should be called in. The majority of Canadians are sick of it. It's cumbersome, and it costs a penny and a half to get one into my hand. Still, the Mint makes half a billion of them a year.
We have 20 billion pennies in circulation,
which, laid end to end, would stretch
more than 9.5 times around the equator.
So, let's stop minting pennies, stop circulating them a year later, and then 2 years later, retailers would stop accepting them. That's the gist of the report. You could still redeem them at the Bank of Canada forever.
I see them on the ground. I'll pick up a penny.
You will.
I will.
How ironic.
Senator Joseph Day is chairman of the Finance Committee.
It's still legal tender.
Until you're done with it.
I asked him what happens to all of the pennies after everyone cashes them in.
The banks send them back to the mint, and the mint will melt them down again and sell that metal off.
Sell it back to America so that they can make American pennies out of it.
I think America's not far behind Canada.
Dude, I don't know about that.
Yes, I called a Canadian senator dude. Because America's been rolling out four new designs of the Lincoln penny for Honest Abe's 2009 bicentennial.
The Royal Canadian Mint hasn't done that with the Canadian coin. We have seen 90 years of the same design.
Steve Woodland is with the Royal Canadian Numismatic Association. Numismatics?
The study of the art and science of money.
He testified before the committee last year, saying he hopes the Mint will still make a bunch of one-cent coins every year to sell to collectors.
If they don't do that, it's not the end of the world. There will be something else to collect. You switch from the one-cent coin to the five-cent coin to whatever.
But all of this is assuming Canada's finance minister puts the report into practice. His office would only say he's still reviewing it. In Toronto, I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
And finally, from pennies to potatoes. Invasive air potatoes, which were a big problem in Florida. Their big thorny vines threaten native trees. The state used to shell out a lot of money to get rid of them, but budget cuts mashed those efforts. So last weekend, thousands of volunteers got together in forests around Gainesville to weed them out. The 12th annual Great Air Potato Roundup brought college students and Cub Scouts alike to attack the killer potatoes. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
How much soy does it take to build the inside of a car?
So Ford is currently saving about 3 million pounds of petroleum each and every year by using soy instead of petroleum.
I'm Bob Moon. Cup holders and car seats get a green makeover next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.